Paul, author Hebrews, May 2014. Rick Abel has written Reason Why Paul Did Not Author Hebrews. You can find Ray's text on my website, www.ambassadorforchrist.net. Ray wrote 35 reasons to show why Hebrews was not written by Paul. You may have in your Bible the title, The Epistle to the Hebrews Written by Paul. My Bible says, Paul Wrote Hebrews. That title and all the book titles in your Bible are not inspired by God, but man gave titles to each book. I have come to the same conclusion as Ray Keeble, for the same reasons and for reasons of my own. I do not intend to read all 35 reasons, a few will suffice. Note that Hebrews is very Jewish. The book of Hebrews is for Israel during the 7 years of tribulation. See the book of Daniel for the prediction and other references in the Old Testament that talks about the future of Israel. Since Daniel is in the Old Testament, how then could it be for us today in the dispensation of grace? And it's not. And Daniel and Revelation are parallel books. You can see that. And definitely we're not going through the tribulation period, and not, which is the book of Revelation, talks a lot about that. Now, for some reasons and differences between what Paul wrote and what Hebrews says. The introduction is different than Paul's letters. Hebrews 1:1, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in these in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Look at the way Paul begins all 13 of his epistles and compare it with how Hebrews begins. There is a major difference. All 13 of his epistles begin with Paul's name. Within the first two, three verses, Paul's name is in every one of his book, his letters. Paul's name is not found in Hebrews, not once. Okay. The salutation at the end. In 2 Thessalonians 3:17, Paul says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. When every epistle, but not in Hebrews, he forgot it? Nope. He didn't write it. Do you see Paul's token in the book of Hebrews? Nope. This verse alone should be enough to convince everyone that Paul did not write Hebrews. I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians here, about him writing a note at the end to sign his epistle. The reason why it says God in Hebrews 1:1 instead of Paul is because Jesus Christ spoke or is speaking to Israel in her future prophesied tribulation, as the verses indicate, Hebrews 12, Psalm 2, Psalm 50, on and on and on. Today, according to what Paul says, God is silent from heaven. We walk by faith, the Jews require a sign, and we have a completed Bible. Now, about the last days, in Hebrews 1:2, are you and I in these last days? No, these last days started in Acts 2 at Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 17. This is exclusively Jewish. Acts is probably written by Luke, not by Paul. We have second-hand information. That's a good one. In Hebrews 2 verse 3, the author regards himself as one who whose knowledge is of Christ was second hand. Hebrews 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us, the author and the people writing with him, helping him write the book of Hebrews, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That's the 12 and everyone that follows Christ during his lifetime. But this person here writing says, we got this information from those people over there. So this is not the 12, it's not Paul, because Paul got first all his material directly from the Lord. See, by contrast, Paul declares that his apostleship and message were directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that in Galatians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians 14, and other places too. Hebrews is about the gospel of the kingdom. As just mentioned, in Hebrews 2, verse 3, the first salvation preached was the gospel of the kingdom, as we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those are Old Testament books. Not New Testament, they're old because Christ is still alive, hasn't gone to the cross yet, therefore it must be the Old Testament. This is not the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul preached. The gospel of the kingdom was preached only to Israel during the Lord's earthly ministry, not after he ascended. Get it? I hope you get it. A reference before Paul got saved. Now this is another one that I enjoyed reading. Hebrews 2 verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. This is a reference to Pentecost in Acts 2, before Paul got saved in Acts 9. We walk by faith, not by signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't you remember that Paul said that these would pass away? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongue, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You don't get that in the prophetic letters, because they will know the languages, they will be able to do miracles, and they will be able to demonstrate physically that they have the Holy Spirit with them, helping them to do their ministry. Now about the theme of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the new and living way, the better way. Chapters 1 to 7, Jesus Christ, the better priesthood. Chapters 8 through 10, Jesus Christ, the better sacrifice. Chapter 11 through 13, Jesus Christ, the better substance of faith. Paul never talks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ in his writings. The last time priesthood is used in the Old Testament is in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 29. Check it out. The next time the priesthood is mentioned is in Hebrews 7, verse 5. The priesthood has to do with Israel's Messiah. When Hebrews 1:7 says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Moses, Aaron, remember that? That is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 4, written by David, showing God the Father talking to God the Son. The warning in Hebrews, another big one. There are threefold warnings in Hebrews. Not to fall away, not to sin willfully, not to draw back. Does Paul give us this threefold warning? No. Paul tells us to stand fast in the liberty that has been given to us. Galatians 5 verse 1. stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Boy, is this ever clear. We have liberty. We're not in bondage. We may be free. That means you can do almost anything you want. You don't have to think about it. You should, but I'm just saying that. I'm free. I've been saved. I'm free. I'm guaranteed heaven. And again, you know, he mentions, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That means going back to the law. The law overrules you, right? It's on you, and you must follow it. But with the message of the dispensation of grace, you're free. You don't have all these rules and regulations. You can eat anything you want. Yes, I like bacon too. Paul says that sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Who is under the law? Israel. Or the kingdom, you know, the gospel to the kingdom, of the kingdom. Everyone under that. We are under grace. This is for the body of Christ. And he tells us that we are still unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is a promise of God. This is not going to change. We are sealed. We cannot lose that seal because God is that seal. The Holy Spirit is that seal. And he's not coming out ever. Well, until the day of redemption. This would negate everything that Paul taught with regard to our security in Christ. I'm talking about the warnings of Hebrews. In Hebrews, you better not fall away, you better not sit willfully, you better not draw back. Hey, I don't care if you throw your Bible in the garbage can. I don't care. Because you're sealed. You know, if you're saved, it's not going to change anything. But these people, if they do anything like that and say, church, I'm not going anymore, watch out. If you say, I'm not going to church, I forget the stupid Bible stuff, you know, I'm tired of this thing, and you stop for it, you know, for the rest of your life, you're still saved. You're going to heaven. I hope you don't, but hey, some people do. I've seen this too. So in Romans 11, verse 6 says, and if by grace, and it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more of grace, otherwise work is no more work. Now, under the law, you must do works. Under grace, you don't have to do works. You should do works because you want to please the Lord, you want to please God. Fine, you do works because you want to, but not because you have to. Under the law, you must. That's a big difference. Okay, about some good news and bad news. Bad news in Hebrews. Salvation is future and it is conditional. Good news for the body of Christ. You are saved now and forever. There are no conditions. Bad news in Hebrews. You must endure to the end. But I just mentioned that too. Good news for the body of Christ. Salvation is instantaneous the moment a person believes. Bad news in Hebrews. You must follow the law. Good news for the body of Christ. What law? I'm under grace. Sin. This is a major difference. In Hebrews 10, verse 26 and 27. So, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fierce, fury indignation, sorry about my English, which shall devour the adversaries. That judgment, that's a great white throne. Not for us. We have the judgment seat of Christ. This sin is for anyone taking the mark of the beast. This is the sin unto death that is in, we find in 1 John 5 and in James chapter 1.
James chapter 1. That's a good one.
Oh yeah, no. Sorry, James has more than one chapters. I was thinking about Jude. Anyway, Romans. Read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Paul explains God's present program with regard to Israel's position and status for today. Here is what Peter wrote. 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Peter is making a reference to the letters of Paul. Peter got confused about the timing of the return of Christ, since the 7 years of tribulation had not started. Paul had been waiting many years for the kingdom to come, and he knew about the tribulation period. So he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting, and hey Lord, you remember in Acts 1 verse 6, hey Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And the Lord says, I can't tell you right now. Because the Father is holding that. See, in Acts, in the beginning of, you know, Acts 1, the Lord could not tell them what was going to come, because they would have panicked and probably got discouraged and everything. He didn't tell them about the dispensation of the grace of God with Paul being saved in Acts 9. He wouldn't tell them, so he can't tell them. He says, no, the Father has reserved that information for future time. And remember the 1 year of extension, the stoning of Stephen, is that, you know, up to that point is a 1 year of extension. And at that time, the tribulation period should have started, and it did not start. Why? Paul got saved, and God introduced the dispensation of the grace of God, which we are in right now. Okay, here's another one from Italy. Writing from Italy, we know Paul is in bonds in Rome, and that only Luke is with him. That's my opinion too. Maybe Luke wrote Hebrews. It could be somebody else, but let's find out a bit more. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. So, Timothy receives this letter, and he says, you know, and Paul says, take Mark and bring him with you. So both Mark and Timothy are not in Rome when this letter, you know, is written. Well, 2 Timothy, but you'll see the difference. Also, we don't know if Timothy ever went to Rome. I've never seen this. We see here the reference to both Timothy and Mark are invited to come to Rome. We must rule out both Timothy and Mark, since both are not in Rome. The writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 13 verse 23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. He's at liberty, and Paul is in prison. Okay. So quite possibly, it could be that Timothy is coming to relieve Luke so that Luke could go visit the Jews in Jerusalem or Judea or the land. My Bible says that Timothy wrote Hebrews. This is impossible considering what the writer hopes for Timothy to come here. You can't write something if you're not there. Uh, No, I say that Luke wrote it. I'm not going to, don't hold me for that. I'm just thinking that of all the people in the Bible, in the New Testament, okay, I can only see Luke as being a writer of Hebrews, but I don't have a proof for that. I don't know for sure that Luke wrote it, but he's, for me, the best candidate. It could be somebody else. I don't have a problem. yeah. Prophecy. The book of Hebrews, by its content, is written to the Hebrews, and it is the subject of prophecy. Now you read it, and you read it, and you say, this is for Jews, this is for Israel in the future time, and it's a prophecy. It's talking about prophecy. It's not talking about the revelation of the mystery that Paul talks about. See, that's the point there. If Paul preached just to the Hebrews, he would be breaking what God asked him to do in Acts 9:15, to go to the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. But Hebrews is not written to kings and Gentiles. That's kind of obvious by the content. If Paul says that today in the dispensation of grace there is no Jews or Gentiles or males and females, blah, 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 all that stuff, in God's eyes, then how then can we be part of something that God temporarily has done away with? You got to figure that out from the Romans 9, 10, 11. We are not spiritual Israel. No one has replaced Israel. What has been prophesied for Israel is certain. It will happen. It's coming. So no one has replaced Israel. This is a, you know, something that is false, that's being carried around. Make up your mind about it, because okay? I don't see me as being part of the 12 tribes. Okay, what tribe am I in? I hope I'm not in Dan. He's a bad guy in there. Just kidding. Okay, so we can see that the book of Hebrews is written specifically to people of Israel. There is no good news as far as salvation is concerned. I mean, like, you're saved forever, the Holy Spirit comes and stays with you, you have to endure to the end, you have to follow the Lord, you have to do this, you have to be careful not to take that sin that leads you into death, the sin unto death that John talks about, 1 John. We don't have anything like that today. You cannot commit this unforgivable, unpardonable sin because you've been clear of all your sins. You can just read the book of Romans, read the first 5 chapters, and you know you've been saved. Christ died for all your sins. He didn't miss any, he just died for all of them. So for me, it's kind of simple that if Christ came and to save me, you know, Paul tells us that he, by imputation, we get this salvation. Well, we get it all, we just don't get it. But, you know, there are no conditions. Paul never talks about a condition of salvation beside the fact of simply believing. And what you have to believe in to be saved today in the dispensation of grace and be absolutely guaranteed to go to heaven. Well, it's simple. It tells you in 1 Corinthians 15 that how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Well, if you believe that, you are saved, no more conditions, no book of Hebrews, Revelation for you, no more New Testament for you, because you're not under the New Testament, you're not in the Old Testament, you're not in the New Testament, you are in the dispensation of grace. That's it. Have a good day.